Yo, yo, what up? It's your girl, Brat Tat Tat, and Brat Tat Tat loves Judy. And you're tuned into
Suave Session.
Indeed.
So, one, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, a baby is a big thing. What was this journey like for you? I guess for both of you.
It was lots of ups and downs. It was a beautiful journey because we got a beautiful gift in the end, and we're very blessed. You know, it was, it had its, you know, ups and downs, good things, bad things, but we don't regret anything because we feel like if anything changes throughout the course of your journey, it could change where you are in life, and it could change the actual gifts that you have, and we don't want to change anything, so we're grateful for every moment, and we try to look at everything as it's a lesson, even if it's negative.
Yeah. So when you decided that you were going to carry a baby, and you knew that your life was going to have to adjust a lot, were there fears in that, like career-wise, personal-wise?
From my end, there weren't any fears. I was just fearful that having a baby would hurt coming out of the regular way. That was my biggest fear, the pain. Because every time you see a woman having a baby, it's like, get out! And they tell them to push. It's like they're screaming for dear life. That was my biggest fear.
Yeah.
I didn't fear anything about life changing because I have lived an amazing life. I've done everything I've ever wanted to do. I've been all over the world, all over different continents, Africa, Asia, just everywhere. You know, my life has been amazing. I've performed for so many people in different stages with some of the biggest names in the industry. And having a baby was just like the icing on the cake for me. I didn't think that I would be the person to carry the baby. But thanks to my wife, I did, and I'm very grateful that I did, because there is nothing like it, and there has never been anything like it in my entire life.
Yeah. And Judy, for you, because you've carried kids before, was something that you saw in Brat while she was carrying that made you proud of her?
The whole thing. Prior to, my wife is the most nurturing person that I've met my whole entire life, so prior to, I felt like this experience would be perfect for her because she would appreciate all of the things. She appreciated the first time we saw the little embryo in there. She appreciated seeing the heartbeat. She appreciated the first movement. Like, the whole experience for her was very emotional. And, you know, being with somebody that's appreciating all of these little things just let me know the type of person that I'm going to be with raising a child. So, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. That was so beautiful. Oh my goodness.
When you, I mean, there's things that people who are having kids, they say those moments are the ones they remember the most. So, like, the first kick you felt, like, what did that do to you?
Oh my God, we actually filmed it. I was laying on the couch, and I didn't realize that's what that was. And I was emotional. I was laying on the couch, like, in my bra, stomach, belly, just hanging all out. And I was just like, you know, baby, come here, come here. Like, oh my God, I was so amazed that I could feel something living or growing in my body. Like, you know, you hear about people having babies all the time, but when it's you and you never thought that you would have a child, it is an experience. It is wonderful. Like, it's like, wow, God is everything. Like, this baby is growing inside me. I just, it's unexplainable. I can't really put it in words.
Yeah.
But it's the best ever. It's the best feeling. I feel like I'm special. Like, God chose me to be somebody's mother. Lots of women try to have babies and they're not as blessed or as fortunate as me. And, you know, I'm an older woman. And, you know, a few doctors said it wasn't in the cards for me. They was like, oh, don't try that. Well, good luck. You know, it's like, they kind of was like, nah, I don't think you should. And, you know, they were probably right, but God saw different. And I'm just very grateful. and I feel special. I feel like God chose me, and I'm super special because He chose me to be True's mother. He chose me to be able to carry True in my belly, something I never expected.
How important was your post-delivery? How important was the village you put around you going into this new transition of life for you?
What village? You didn't let nobody around.
Really?
If you're going to talk about community.
See, that's I can't take you.
It was a community or village.
So you became very protective then?
I did.
Immediately?
I did. I did because, I don't know, I think that's what mama bears do. I didn't know I was going to be like that, but I didn't want anybody breathing on him. Like, COVID was out here. I didn't want anybody coughing on him. Like, if I could have put him in a bag and kept him protected, like when Michael Jackson slept in the chamber, I would have kept him, like, totally protected. Like, I didn't want anybody around him. Because people lie, and they say they're not sick, and they'll cough or something on the lawn. You'd be like, see, I thought you wasn't sick. Like, I just didn't want any chances of them doing anything to harm him. Because he is so precious and so special and so everything to me. Like, So, yeah, okay, whatever.
I mean, her mom, her aunt.
Yeah, we ended up with a little village, our family.
Yeah,
that's fine. But has no it, outsiders.
Has it kind of simmered down a little bit since?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm better now. She brought him to my job. He met some of my close friends and coworkers at work.
You are better.
A few people have come to visit him. Yeah. My sister, Lisa Ray, my god sister, Dawn, like my best friend, Steph, who's his god, you know, like different people. Letitia, people from her staff, they visited. Artez, you know, the makeup artist, you know, the photographers, they've seen.
You trying to make a long list.
Yeah, it's a long list.
We've let
all them be around him. That's at least 15 people.
So on a baby special, that's something that we kind of covered where, you know, we talked about getting him christened.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big thing because she's like, how many people gonna be there? Oh, yeah, there at church, all the church. I'm like, okay,
we ain't going to church with like 1500 people,
right? So,
girl,
yeah, we cover a lot of that on the show,
we do,
okay. And she's exactly that person. You get to see that action of
so if you saw the baby, you're a loved person in the family,
yeah, absolutely.
If not, don't take it personal,
Take it personal. He'll be older one day and you can meet him then.
Until then,
yeah, he's on social media. True Legend HD on Instagram. He already has 400,000 followers.
I'm jealous. I'm a little jealous. So, you guys, you have the classical brain, which, again, starts before maybe anything. How do you, business mogul, music icon, business mogul as well, how do you now adjust with having a new brand, having a new baby, trying to facilitate all this at the same time in the household? Because I already heard you.
Go ahead, CEO. I don't know how she does it, but she does it. She does everything. I mean, she runs the company by day, and it's all day. It's Zoom meetings. It's different. It's the bottle people. It's the label people. It's the distribution people. It's Walmart. It's CVS. It's Sally. It's all the, it's the beauty supply stores. It is everything. It's all the employees, the shipping, and the, Lord have mercy, the people on the website. It is constant. And then she still has time for me and the baby. How she does that, I don't know. Maybe because I work. I go do radio, the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. Then I do Dish Nation. And then we do a few other things. But I don't know how she does it. And yet she still wakes up. We wake up. But most of the time when it's a weekday, she wakes up when he wakes up in the middle of the night. And she'll feed him his bottle until he goes back to sleep. And that's like, it used to be like 5 or 6 times a night. Now it may be once or twice a night. But, you know, and she's never made me feel like a single parent. Like, she's never let me do things by myself. So when I hear people talking about how it was like being a single parent, like she was a single parent, I feel so bad, like that I wasn't there to help her, because She had three children. I don't know how in the world. Because one is alive. True legend, Harris DuPont, he is alive, honey. He has his little fits and stuff. And, you know, I don't know how she did it. But that's a question for her. Because I feel like she juggles way more than me. She has to deal with way more people. I cut people off, honey. Like, if I have to deal with you, I don't have to deal with you. Like, when I leave work, most of those people I don't even talk to outside of work. When I come home, home is my peace and my place of away from everything. So that would be you, honey. Would you like to answer that question?
I think you just did.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know. A lot of people ask, how do you have work-life balance? I think even in a perfect world, that's impossible to have a perfect work-life balance. I think when you have a perfect life balance, work suffers. So when you have a perfect work balance, you know, life suffers. So yeah. I think you just figure it out day by day.
I don't think people really know or appreciate the amount of work that you do in the day. We know you have the company, but you would assume there's like a team doing all of this for you.
Well, so there's supposed to be a team doing it for me. That every time that I've like spoken to somebody, like the people that are really, really successful, and they hear that it's like about 5 to 7 of us, they're just amazed. It's just that me being a person, I never went to college, never had to write a resume, like I did hair. So hiring, I thought when people tell you that they do something, they really do it.
They don't.
So I had to learn the hard way that half of these people that I'm hiring to do stuff that don't really do what they say.
Yeah.
So being that when I started this, my minimum order quantity was 100 pieces. Now my minimum order quantity is 100,000 pieces. I was there for those steps.
Yeah.
So I wasn't taught it, but I had to learn it along the way. I didn't expect to be this far. So I can go into shipping logistics because I had to ship out stuff when it was just me. Mm-hmm. I can do inventory management because I had to manage the inventory when it was just me.
Which
it's the same equation, it's just larger numbers.
Which means when something doesn't go right, she steps in and does it herself.
I do.
Which means she wears all the hats.
I'm supposed to, because then if I don't do it,
right.
The bills still got to get paid. The check still got to get signed, and the business still has to grow.
Which makes
just because I hire somebody that just so happens to be incompetent, I didn't know that they were incompetent, I can't let that make the
business
percentage of the business go down because of that. No, you incompetent, you get from around me, but I still need my numbers to go up every year.
Right.
You get from around.
That's it. Yeah. Get from around. That's the best way to put it.
I mean, it makes sense, though.
You need tissue?
I have tissue.
Okay.
So, you've worn the protective hairstyles for forever. The thought process that we have, especially as men, is that you just put braids in and you're fine. But there's a process to keep your smile. There's a process of doing this to actually protect your hair in the same way. So why was this important for you to make the sacrifice?
Well, this was important for me because I'm probably the main person in the world or in the industry that's been wearing braids since I was a child. And especially since I became the Brat, that's like my signature hairstyle. And it's easy to wear braids or protective styles because you don't have to comb your hair every single day. You don't have to put heat on your hair. You don't have to do things that are damaging to your hair, chemicals, XYZ. These products help in every single way when your scalp itches, whether it's underneath a wig. Most women have braids underneath their wigs and weaves. We have something that helps the itch. We have mousse. You know, when your style is done, you want to polish it off. You put the mousse on it, whether it's weave or whether it's your natural hair, you can use it. We have a shine agent that just makes everything super shiny and beautiful and luxurious. And then we have the What You Like apple cider. Like, this is the dream product right here. People love this because when you take your braids down, like, you get a lot of clump and build up. I mean, you wouldn't know nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? When you had hair before that, did you ever have like dreads or braids or nothing like that? Okay, you
just had. I don't like hair touching my face.
Okay, understood. But it's all over your face.
It's all over my face. There's a lot of, you know, contradictions that happen in that situation.
Okay. Well, yeah, this is when you take your braids down. Most women that have braids, it'll clump up like maybe where you put your gels or stuff around the edges.
Okay.
And instead of just trying to comb that buildup out and it combing your hair out at the same time. You apply this and you let it sit and you rinse it out and it breaks it up and it rinses it out easy without taking your hair out.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, babe.
I mean, you just ran through
the
product list.
This collection started because I've been telling my wife for a very long time that she has a lot of value and she's not really tapping into all of the different things. So one of the things that I said was, we're going to make you a collection. And I did the whole legal thing. I want you to have royalties off of this. I want you to be able to see.
I didn't want that.
She didn't. So I went above her and I talked to her team.
I wanted to do it, but I just wanted her to do it. Use me. Do whatever you have to do. I'm your wife. We are one. I don't want any money. I don't want any percentages or any royalties or anything.
But how does she see the value then?
Because whatever money it makes, it'll make for the company. And the company is yours. The company is ours. And we'll make it together.
So I went above her head. I went above her head. And I went to her.
You can go above. I'm taller than
I
you.
I went above her head. And went to her team. And made sure to get our legal paper drawn up. And get her royalties off of each sale. So she can see and benefit off of all of it.
Yeah.
And so now she sees and benefits off of all of it. And now she doesn't mind doing. Like, we have a book that we're doing. We have a book deal that we got, and we have all of these different things. So I just wanted to be able to, you know, expand what she was doing because she you know, I think she didn't know the value of what she brought to the table.
But so what? It would be in the company. It would be in Kaleidoscope anyway, whether you made me a separate contract or not. Like, it's contributing, and I'm happy to because I'm your wife, and I love you, you know? So whatever it made is going to benefit anyway when the bills are paid.
She still got to get her money out of it. Look at her. She did it, though.
Okay. So I have one more question. Or I guess one and a half questions, I guess you can call it.
Okay.
For your brand, for your company, you make a very specific initiative to make sure that LGBTQIA companies or owned companies are represented in, like, get that spotlight. Why was that important for you? That's the first question. For you, being in the community and in hip-hop at the same time, do you think that there is a space that hip-hop will be more receptive to the community? Those are two heavy questions.
Which one do you want first?
You go first.
Do I think hip-hop will be more receptive to the community?
Yeah.
I think hip-hop is very receptive to the community. There are a lot of people in hip-hop that are a part of the community, and if not, their staff or their friends or their family are part of the community. It's very different than when it was in the 90s. It's very acceptable now. Love wins. We represent love who you're with and love who makes you happy, no matter what. So I think the community is very responsive and representative, we represent the LGBTQ and they love us. We get nothing but great responses. Of course, you'll have your one or two haters that have something negative to say, but we don't feed off of that. We ignore that because we get so much love from the community. So we just want to be supportive of them in every way because we are two loving wives with a beautiful baby boy. And, you know, we have all the colors in the rainbow. Love wins every time.
So I think being authentically yourself is the driver of all the things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do stuff but don't even realize I'm doing. So, you know, when I show up for the community, it's just me showing up for myself. It's me showing up as myself unapologetically and just being authentically me.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the way God is set up, he just always makes sure to check off other stuff while I'm doing the things that I do.
Because your heart is so good, babe. You do so many things for so many people. And you help so many people. And it's because your heart is why you're so blessed. Don't shush me. You know, you give. That is your love language. You give. You give, 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 and give, and give. And you get. You get blessed from that, you know? Okay.
No, that was perfect.